will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I surrender it all to you, O God.
Welcome to Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Kim Jackson.
And I'm back. This is your co-host, Taronda Hamilton.
Yeah, she's back.
I missed my audience. I missed them.
So, Taronda.
Yes.
How was your sabbatical?
My sabbatical was a roller coaster.
It was a roller coaster.
Yes, it was. It was.
Was it everything that you expected?
Actually, Kim, I went with no expectations. It was like, God, here I'm coming, and do what you will. And he did, Kim. He did what he chose to do, which was, it was more or less self-reflections.
Okay.
Going inside, seeking the kingdom of heaven that's inside. That's what I was seeking. And Kim, in order for me to get there, I had to go through Taronda.
You know.
Yes.
That's what you end up finding out, that you have to move yourself out of the way to get that true connection.
And it was a lot of Taronda in the way, a lot of outside things in the way. And briefly, day three, Kim, I was asking myself, why am I here? I want to go home. Day five, dear audience, I was saying, I'm going to get Kim. I don't even know why he told me to come down here. By day six, it all started to come together. Day seven, I was anxious for the day. But again, there was a lot of... When you have to be alone with yourself, and that's pretty much what it all about, boiled down to, and yet you're trying to get to God, what happens is you begin to, in the silence, you begin to see and hear what's going on in you. And you have to learn to press past you to get to the kingdom, and it's possible.
Yeah, see, I just, you got to admit, going through that is a challenge, but it's also, it helps you grow.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely.
So tell me something. I mean, you went down there, you started your day on a Wednesday. I mean, how did you feel when you got there? Was it one of those, oh, this is not bad? Or
when I got there, now, to know me personally, most people that know me, I'm not that good with strangers when I'm by myself. And I felt alone at first. And yet I also knew that's why I was going. So when I first got there, I felt alone, and I tried to find myself little corners and places where I could go and just sit and be alone. But then when they began to pull us into the different meditation sessions, you're still alone.
Yeah.
But there is some direction.
I just love it. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
I'm going to say, share with us. Don't leave us out here.
I'm just laughing because with the things that she's saying, it is pretty much what I experienced when I went. Mm-hmm. It's like you felt alone, but you know you was there for a purpose. And once they start pulling you in, it's like even day one, I was like, you know, why am I here? Mm-hmm. Day two, like, you know, I'll hang in there for a little bit. You start getting panicky day three, four, and five. It's like it really just take a hold to you.
Right.
I mean, what insight did God show you while you was there?
I got a lot of insights, but Kim, the one that I want to share with our audience today really, really struck me out of all the different things that I heard. And that's part of our topic, or where we're going with our topic today, I believe, is one-on-one with God.
Yep. 101 God.
And there's a parable that the teacher shared. And let's start with that, and pray that I recall it the way that he shared it. But basically, there was a young man that went to the great teacher. And he looked around, he saw all these people that were hearing his teaching and listening. And I mean, it was a number that you really couldn't even count. And yet he asked the teacher, he says, "You have all these people that come to listen to you. And they either receive nothing, or if they do, it doesn't change them." And he confessed, he said, "I'm one of them. I'm one of those that did not change. What is the problem here that we're listening, but we're not changing?" And so the great teacher looked at him and he said, "Well, we have those that come and listen to the teaching, and they get all excited about the teaching. And so they decided, wow, I can listen to this. And they come away with two different perspectives after listening. And out of fear, they choose to follow or listen because they don't want to go to hell. Or they choose to listen and follow instructions because they want to go to heaven." He said, "In either case, these people are not using the mind that God gave them. They're listening to what the teacher or the person is saying to them, and they're like, wow, it sounds really good." And so what they do is they begin to dance and sing around the altar and bring their gifts and their offerings to the teacher. And I mean, they're just expressing their joy and hearing what they hear. But when they leave, they don't change. And so then the teacher tells him, he says, "Well, and then there's another group, and they use the mind that God gave them. And they begin to listen, and they hear, and they think, and they begin to understand. Oh, I understand." So it reaches their intellect, not just their flesh.
Yeah.
It reaches their intellect, and so they're like, wow, this makes sense. And yet they, too, go away and don't change. They understand, and they see where science has proved some things that they're being taught. And so it's like there's a reality in what's being said, but they themselves still don't change. And so he said, the teacher says to the young man, he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He said, "Where are you from?" And the young man, he says, "I'm from the city that they were in." He says, No. "Your facial features say that you're from someplace else." He said, "Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I've been here a long time, but originally I'm from," and he mentioned another city that was across the river and down, you know, some distance away. And so the teacher said, "Oh, okay. Well, then you know how to get there." He said, "Oh, yes, I go home quite often." He said, "So you still have family there?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, do you have family and friends here?" He said, "Oh, yes, I have some here too." He said, "Well, so could you tell your family and friends here how to get to your original home?" He said, "Oh, I can tell them and not leave out a thing. I mean, I can tell them where to turn, where to walk, what to watch out for." He said, "I could definitely tell them how to get there." He says, "So have you told any of them?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I've told some how to get there." He says, "So, oh, okay. Then they know how to get to your home." He said, No. "They can't know until they walk the path." And so what the great teacher was showing him, and you can come and worship and don't change. You can come and worship and understand why you're worshiping and don't change. But in order for all the listeners, those that are come and sit at his feet, to affect change in themselves and in the world, they have to walk the path. There has to be an experience. It's not about just hearing, but it's about doing. And I find that was one of the things that I'm learning. I need to do more. I don't want to be one of those that brings my flowers and my flags and pageantry and dance around the altar, bring my offerings and dance around the altar. I want to use just what God gave me. So I find myself wanting to understand what God is teaching me. But then one thing we've said on this broadcast before, Kim, was once you pray, once you make that connection with God, there always follows something to do behind it. And that, I feel, is where we fall short.
Yeah. I mean, that story, I do remember it. You actually brought it back to my remembrance mm-hmm. when you started talking. And it just, from when I heard it, I was like, okay, maybe I'll become one to start sharing the things that I did, the path that I went down. But if you're giving an idea or a vision, but yet you don't follow through with it, like you said, are you one just sitting up there, you're listening to the word? You may be one that understand it, but are you doing it?
Are you doing it?
You know, sometimes I feel like in doing, there's a faith that's required.
Of course, I agree. Totally.
And sometimes we lose faith because we ask God, okay, God, what do you want me to do? But we don't get an answer because we're still standing and waiting for an answer instead of just continuing to move day by day. The movement is very important. Because without the movement, nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done.
And that story, it's making me reflect. Because even though I've went to Vipassana early in the year, and you got this insight, but it seemed like the things around you just becomes like thorns and sponges. Like, it's like you're a puddle of water. You come back and the water that you have is just so tasty. So someone comes to you with a sponge because they're trying to sop up what you experienced. But you need someone to come with, well, I don't believe in it. They're the thorns. I always say, well, I don't believe in that. I just don't see that. But over time, you find out that you become drained and you have to find a way to rejuvenate yourself. And even when you get drained, it's like you lose that motion to move. It's like you begin, it's like you're going back to where you was before you went there.
And you know the reason why we revert back is we don't continue to practice that solitude.
You know, I tried when I first came out. Because I wouldn't work inside, so I would try to practice, but it was just so many things. And I know when I left, they said, you know, it's going to be so many distractions that it's going to keep you from doing this. But he said, if you can even spend 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes is all you need just to keep on.
Well, Kim, think about it. What we do is we plan to go away. Mm-hmm. For 10 days, 11 days, we planned it.
Yep.
So when you return, you have to continue to plan it. The distractions and will never go away. One of the things that happened while I was there, I was located near the door. I was near the door.
Okay.
And so sitting there. Yeah, I was sitting. I wasn't on one of the pillows. But anyway. Sitting there, people would come in late or go out. They began to cough. They began to do different things, and it distracted me. So I asked, could I be moved? And the response, well, we had a reason for sitting you there. And I said, okay, then I'm going to stay and see. Now, their reason was they didn't want me to get crowded because they knew other people were eventually going to be sitting in on that where I was.
Yeah.
And so they wanted me here. They said, instead of having people on both sides of you, since you're the first one here, we'll let you sit here and then move people on down the row from where you are. But Kim, what I found out is one of the things that you have to do living in a real world, distractions are always going to be there.
Yep. You're so right.
They're always going to be there. So what you have to do is condition your mind to put them in the background and make the quiet time, the meditation time, make that a priority. And And sometimes it's a fight, but you're grateful for even, you know, 5 minutes of attentiveness within, 10 minutes, and it begins to grow. But we have to start somewhere instead of saying, I don't have time or I'm busy. We have to force ourselves to find the time.
You know, if I get in that place of meditation, it's going to be more than 10 minutes.
Exactly. And that's why you have to fight to get there.
Because I do miss it. I miss the peace that you get while you're there. But also, I miss the, what's the name? It's like a tingling when you're breathing, and you can feel the tingling all over your body. It's like the energy just moves through you. And it's just an amazing feeling.
Mm-hmm. So, Kim, let's go back to those that are, for, you know, well, according to the teacher's thing, all they do is dance around the front and there's no substance. I actually could see that as he was speaking. I saw people that I know, I saw people that I didn't know, and they were just as happy dancing around, but there was no substance. And unfortunately, there are too many people that are like that. And so my question, Kim, to you would be, how would you encourage them to get substance? Because usually these are the ones that you find fall down and have a very hard time getting up.
See, that is you have to be very careful. Because for someone like that, if you ask them, okay, you dance, you dance, you joy, you sing, but has anything changed in your life? Have you, as a person, changed, and have you changed someone else's life?
And, you know, and too many times we look for that change to be something external.
Yeah.
But real change happens within. And once it happens within, then the outward changes, and it's a permanent change. I believe that once you go within, the scripture tells us, I will be in you. It tells us the kingdom of heaven is in you. Yep. I will put my spirit in you. And so if we want to have change, we have to go beyond just the surface, beyond the flesh. Our encouragement can come from a great song, but it's not going to last.
No, it's only for that moment.
It's only for that moment.
You know, sometimes the great song can be something just to get you out of the rut that you're in.
Yes, a stepping stone, that's all. And that's all it's supposed to be. Because the real change that's going to last, the lasting change, is to get to where you're focused on what God is doing. And that doing begins within you. And what happens is we get in tune to me. We get in tune with the Spirit of God, the presence of God, that chill, that tingling, that movement within us that you talk about is because we have gotten in tune with that one Spirit that connects everything. And once we've gotten in tune with that, everything else falls away. It falls away and it loses its importance. One of the things that we were told that I've learned that has been very effective is to see yourself as an observer of your life. Step back and just watch things that happen. And it's not so much literally with your eyes, but with your mind's eye. Step back and watch and understand that things that are unfolding around you are not permanent.
You know.
Yes. I do know.
It's you know, you start doing that because since you brought it up.
Since I brought it up.
Since
okay.
You brought it up. It's like, since I've been back, I started doing that. But then you find yourself saying, is this real? It's almost like you've taken yourself out from being in the world to where you're actually an observer. But then you start saying, is this real? Because it doesn't seem real to you anymore.
Because it's not. It's not. We're living in, wow, I don't want to say it. We're spirit. People, they all, you hear people say, we're spiritual beings living in a, what is it?
The world.
In a body. Like, spiritual beings living in a body. And so what you begin to do is to begin to see yourself as spirit. And that's the true reality. We're made in God's image and God is spirit. And yet we have this flesh. We've been encased in this flesh. And it's just temporary, Kim. It's not going to last. And he's already told us that. This is going to die away. This is corrupt. It's going to die away. And so you begin to see yourself as the real self, the observer. And you understand, you know, this too shall pass. I might be going through something, but it's not going to last. And so what I have to do is focus on that which will as that within, with that which is within.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to force ourselves to go in to be the real us and get rid of the distractions and the things that are going on around us.
It's
so it's not real. It's not.
To me, I'm trying to get a handle on that because sometimes I could be driving. And I get this, you most people call it tunnel vision, or I see myself in a forest just walking. And then as I'm walking, I can actually see a person ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, it just seemed like he's, I don't know, waiting on me to come to the end. Because at the end of the forest, I see like a light and a door. But the person's waiting.
You know, now my first thought when you say that is God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us. We're talking about a one-on-one with God. Spirit bears witness with spirit.
Yeah.
God is spirit. And if we can just get in tune with what God is doing, not concerned with what has passed because we can't change that.
No.
Not concerned with what's coming because it may change. We don't know. But if we stay in the now, in God's present, he's a very present God. What is he doing right now? What is he saying to me right now? What are my instructions right now? And when you find yourself in that place of now, there's no worry. There's no care because you're in the presence of God. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. So you're happy even though things around you may be in turmoil. Mm-hmm. But you have found what people say, that happy place.
Yeah.
And you've got to fight. And I can't say that enough. You got to fight to get there. When one of the nights I was there, it seems like everything that concerned me, my family, I mean, all kind of things was just bombarding me that night.
Yeah. What night was this?
I think that was like day 5 or 6, one of those days. I could not sleep. I was up all night. All these things were, and then finally I resolved, God's going to take care of everything because I'm here trying to seek him. And it went away. It was temporary. It was a struggle. It was a fight, but it went away. I had to get my focus off of those things and back into my spirit, the presence of God.
I think mine's happened in day 3 or 4.
Yeah. It shows up, but it's okay. It's okay.
But to be able to bring yourself back into that meditation mode or that one with God, it's difficult, especially when you're not in a place where everything pretty much is silent, except the animals, trees.
That was their agenda. See, that was the thing. That those days, the agenda was to meditate and to become the observer and let things happen because they're going to happen. That was the agenda. So when you leave and you're back into real world, we're told we're in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
We got to get to that place where we see ourselves as the alien. Okay, we see ourselves not in this world. This is not the reality. This is not my home. This is just where I'm passing through. I'm learning lessons as I go forth. And so, yes, when you, it is a struggle. It is a fight. But I would always say to myself and others, how bad do you want it?
That's the key.
That's the key. Do you want to stay dancing around the altar and not seeing any change in you or anything around you? Or do you want more? And if you want the more, then you've got to study and understand what you're being told and what you're being taught. Be able to discern what's just tickling my fancy or what's spiritually making me grow. You got to get to a place where you're not only hearing, but you're listening and you're thinking. And then once you figure it out and the Holy Spirit opens it up to you and shows you, then you've got to have the courage to step out to the place of doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all you guys say, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten to a place where I'd step out and just do. I mean, because to me, I got to the point where if I could do this and stick with it, that's a hurdle that I've accomplished. And I know how it is to sit and just be with God, no matter what's around me. But I know we had talked about it. To me, I found the difficult part was coming back and just people being around you. It's almost like you've been a monk or a hermit for 11 days. You didn't realize the peace that you have until you come out.
Now, you know what's interesting when you talk about that? When I came back, I decided or I said, okay, I could not live my life as a monk or a nun. That's just not me. I want the people around me. One of the struggles I had in being silent and being quiet was please and thank you or excuse me. Those are compliments. The meal was great. That was hard for me. And then I began to miss my family because, you know, we always intermingle. We don't always get along.
Yeah.
But we always around each other. So I've missed that. But I also recognize, Kim, that in order for me to help them, there's a place that I've got to go.
Yeah.
So I've got it. So this journey is not just for me. It's for the people around me. The change will not only occur within ourselves, but the people around there. And those are the things I'm starting to see since I've been back. And it's interesting. I wake up and I'll be really still. And then next thing I know, the alarm is going off, and I've been meditating from anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. Now, at night, when I lay down, it's not quite that long. But my body has gotten accustomed to waking up at 4:30. And then next thing I know, my alarm's going off at 5:30.
You know, I think my body was all right for the first couple of months. It's like, okay.
Oh, so you're telling me wait a couple of months and it might change.
Like, we need to get back on track.
Right. But you know what? It's a struggle. It's a fight. It may not be easy, but it has to be done.
Yeah.
You cannot lose what you gained, especially when you begin to see the benefits of spending time alone with God.
It's a great benefit because even when I came back, all the visions that I was shown when I was there, I was amazed to see how quickly they unfolded. Yeah. And yes. It's like, while you're there, saying, that's not going to happen. Now, it's like the naysayer starts talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that doesn't work. That God doesn't move like that. Then all of a sudden you look at something. Oh, my goodness. Oh, like that? Oh, does he? Mm-hmm.
You begin to get revelations. You get to doors begin to open. See, for me, different things started to come my way without me asking.
Yeah.
people volunteering, you know, if it's more a word, whether it's material, whatever it is, things begin to reveal. Questions that I have, I begin to get answers. And I don't want to lose that. And I'm not going to say I don't want to. I refuse to lose that.
Well, you find out once you gain that. It's like you get into a spot to where you're starting to expect it. The God, the movement of God.
And that's where we have to be. And I believe that's where God wants us. And Kim, the experience that we had actually reminds me of what Jesus did on a regular basis. He often went away. He often tried to take people with him, and they didn't go. I mean, think about the disciples. He had one group, then he had that closer group, then he had himself. The one group, he just left them. It's like, okay, you know what, I'm just going to take Peter, James, and John. You know, forget the rest of them, because for whatever reason, he just left them. There were 12 disciples. He only took three. And yet, he had to go even beyond himself, past them. And they tried, you know, they tried. They flesh was there, you know, the spirit wanted you, but the flesh said, but in many occasions Jesus the city stole away to a quiet place. He went up on a mountain. He went on the other side of the river. I mean, that's what he did. And even when he went into the wilderness and he was to be tempted, I equate that to the times when I struggled with myself, wanted to leave, wanted to come back, questioned why I was there. I equate that to all the night of torment is what I want to call it. That's why when I say it was a roller coaster, yes. Yeah, it was good days, bad days. And I want to call them bad days. It was good days and challenging days. Some days I could focus. Other days it was like, you know what, I can't do this. And I didn't focus. I mean, I just couldn't. So it was a struggle, even in the midst of those that are participating with you in the place that you call the place of peace and quiet, where their focus was to be quiet and to meditate. Even in those moments, it was still a struggle to stay there.
Yeah.
So how much greater will the struggle be when you're amidst your loved ones and your job and different things? I've gotten to the place where even when I'm driving, I try to steel myself, especially when I see the traffic getting kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, kind of steel myself, get into my place. Exactly. And that's what we have to do. It's a challenge. It's a fight. But go ahead.
It is. It's almost something you can't really describe to somebody.
Oh, no,
it's
like you can't.
You have to do it. Because I know when I came back and we talked, it's like so many things that goes through your mind. It's like, what can you really tell a person? Because like we talked before, my experience is going to be different than yours.
It's a personal journey.
Yes.
And it's a journey. Like the young man told him, he said, in order for you to know this path, you've got to walk this path. And we can't do it for somebody else. And that's what he was telling me. I can't walk it for them. No. I can put it out there for them. And that's what God has done. He's laid out a plan for all of us. And yet it's up to us to walk it. And that path will not look like anybody else's. Kim, when you think about the body, Jesus equates the body to the body of Christ and the many members that they have. No two things on your body, in your body, does the same thing.
You're so correct.
And you will find those that are dancing and running around the altar are actually emulating the person that is teaching them, but they're not changing. And so you've created all these people that look the same. And yet you're out of compliance with what God wants from the body, because we're not all going to look the same. We can, and that's what I believe PPW is doing, is to encourage everyone to find their own place.
Yes. I mean, not just yes, but find your own place and find that path that God has for you.
For you, exactly. And it will not look like anybody else's, because you are not like them. So you will be unique. Don't think you're strange. Don't think there's something wrong with you because you're not like. He doesn't want a bunch of robots that are moving and doing the same thing, because something's going to come undone because it's been neglected. So learn your path And the only way we're going to learn our own individual path is to go within and see what God is speaking to us. And that's the lesson that I believe we need to be teaching people, to go in and find you and be proud of who you are. And the confirmation of you finding who you are is you will love you. And because you love you, you're going to love everybody around you. And you'll have that patience to say, you know what, I had to find me. And if I can help you find you, that'll be great. Because together, we will make up the body.
Now, just like if you could teach somebody those same techniques. I mean, they were simple. It's just the fact of just finding yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that we cannot do.
No.
And wherever the place is that God leads them in, because it may not be the same place we went, Kim, but wherever God leads you to learn how to find your place or your quiet place, that place within you, go. And you'll be challenged with your friends. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go there. And maybe they can't. But you have to be obedient to the call that God has put on your life. So, and the techniques, you say techniques, and the techniques are however you find that place within may not look the same. It will not look the same because you're not the same as anybody else. Because,
you know, when you was down there, you know, most people were sitting with their knees behind them. Some would sit with their legs maybe crossed. It's like everyone had their own way of meditating.
Of getting quiet, being still. Exactly.
For me, I would love to sit on the floor, but you know, after a while, it's like, whew. That was just a little bit too rough.
So here we are. We find different positions. We find different places. And the thing that we want to drive today is just get where you can have that one-on-one with God. That's the key. So there cannot be a technique. There cannot be a plan or a path because we're all different. So we have to find out where he wants to take us. And it may be in your own war room in your house.
Hey,
it may be in your car. But we've got to listen and get in tune and learn ourselves. And that's where the beginning is, learning yourself. Know thyself. Know thyself. That's the beginning. Start with us. We sit back and we say, oh, this one, that one, they need to do this, they need to do that. No. We need to do what God is telling ourselves. And I say it all the time, if we as individuals ever find that we're moving where God wants us to move, the whole is going to be amazing.
Yeah, you're right. It is going to be amazing.
It's going to affect some change. It's going to blow some things clear out the water.
Because what is it? When it was on one accord?
That's when the Holy Spirit fell. And that's when the world began to change. From those 120, the whole world changed. And it's still changing.
Yeah. We just got to find those people that want to be to reach that level. And it's everybody's looking for it. But we're looking for it. How can I put it?
Externally.
Externally. And sometimes we're looking for it in the wrong direction. I mean, we're looking for someone to quantify what we're doing.
Yes. And they can't.
No.
They don't know your path.
But if you keep asking them enough, they're going to give you a path, which is not going to be what God wants
you to
have.
They will give you one. Yeah. And that is not the one. And they don't know the mind of God.
No.
Concerning you. They will know him concerning themselves. God may tell you to do this, but that's not my path.
No, that's their path.
And if all of us are going on the same path, look at all the area that's going to be neglected.
It's going to be a lot of area.
It's going to be a lot of area. And I don't want to be the one that's treading behind somebody else's footstep and neglecting the thing that God has called me to do.
And you're being disobedient because if God told you to do to go left, but yet you said, well, I'm going to go right because everybody else is going right.
You're walking in disobedience.
Yeah.
And that's key. That to me, personally, this is what I think. That's what happened in the garden. That was the major sin. They were disobedient.
Yeah.
They didn't kill anybody. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't murder. They didn't steal. God said don't, and they did. And unfortunately, that's what happens to us. God saying don't, and we do. Sometimes we do because we want to. Sometimes we do because we're influenced.
Yeah.
Sometimes we want to do because, ooh, they're doing something magnificent. I want to do something magnificent, so let me do what they're doing. But that's not going to work for you.
Because you trying to do that just means you want to be seen.
You want to be seen, and you're following a path that's not laid out for you.
You know, I have one question, a couple of questions I want to ask you.
Ooh.
Putting
me on the spot.
This is a simple thing. I'm just curious. How did you cope with not being able to read, write, or... what was the other? A talk. I mean, we know about the talking. How did you deal with the reading and the writing?
Anybody that knows me, I always have at least 3 or 4 books going at the same time. I don't journal as much, but oh, I take some notes.
Oh, yeah, no. Read for that book.
Stop. See, there you go. I will take some notes and I will read. That was especially when revelations began to come and I could not write a note and I really wanted to, but it's like I knew I'd be walking in disobedience and so I didn't want to interfere with anything that God had prepared for me. So I couldn't cheat and do that. So that was a challenge for me. But one thing I will say, what is it, day 10, they allow you to talk and share with one another.
Yeah.
And then they also have a display of a lot of books. I ran to that place. I went through all the books. I sit there and someone said, you finally got a book in your hand. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. That was a struggle for me as well. Because, Kim, you know, I writing a note, got pen and paper, writing a note. It may be just 2 words, but I know what's behind those 2 words. That's all I need to write. So yeah, that was a challenge, but at the same point, you depend on the Holy Spirit to bring it back. You strengthen your relationship with the Holy Spirit because it's like, God, I can't, and the Holy Spirit's supposed to bring all things to my remembrance. I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit will do that. And I haven't forgotten anything that I wanted to remember.
And that's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Come on, people say, well, I forget now. You won't. Trust me, you will not.
No. And you know what? I think that we've also spoiled ourselves, and technology, pen, paper, however you want to do it, has actually done a disservice to us. Kim, I used to take pride in the fact that if you asked me somebody's name, no matter who it was, I could give you their phone number. Yeah, can't do that anymore. Pick up my cell phone and look it up, and that's what I'm doing. We have spoiled ourselves, and I'm trying to get back to where we're losing some abilities that God has given us, and we're not waking up the ones that were always asleep because we're allowing technology to do it for us.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen when the tower falls? What's going to happen when there's an electricity shortage? We're going to be lost.
Yeah, because I try to like cut myself a little ways from the electronic stuff, but to me, I consider electronic stuff as just a tool.
It is a tool.
Like any other tool, you set it down, and you think of other ways to try to accomplish your goal.
Just don't lose who you are and the abilities that we have been given.
Yeah, because like you said about the numbers, I used to remember numbers.
Yes.
Off the top of my head. Even when I was younger, I could actually do algebra, geometry, even calculus in my head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now,
calculator. Yeah, see? Calculator done took it over.
Yeah.
And so, in so many ways, we have given up the abilities that we have been given. And they say we only use, what, maybe 10% of our brain?
Yeah.
And we're losing that? That's a problem. That's a problem. We're losing the little bit that we had. So, and I don't want that to be me. I mean, there are so, you know, one movie that we share that we like, Kim, Lucy.
Yeah. Okay. I like Lucy.
Yeah. Yeah. We have that in us. We just don't use it. Now, for her, it was a chemical thing. Mm-hmm. For her, it was a chemical thing. But the Holy Spirit is supposed to bring all things to our remembrance. And whatever we need, he's our teacher, our guide. We need to start to utilize it, and we don't. That's part of that meditation time, praying in the Spirit and staying in tune with God, giving him space to speak to us.
Yeah, just finding that space. I mean, it's coming a time to where we're going to have to, where things are going, and the negative stuff that people are putting in the atmosphere, we're going to have to find that time. Because finding that time does two things for you. It helps you purge everything that you're going through and find it, the inner peace. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. also, it gives you time with God. If you ever talked to someone and said, "Ooh, I pray every morning, God be there. He just be listening to me and telling me all these things." Okay. But then you see in that person's life that their walk doesn't match what they say. But then if you find somebody who don't talk about the time that they spend with God, but you know, it's like they got this energy around them.
You can see it. You can feel it. Yes.
And if you ever ask them to pray for you, it's almost like Jesus standing there on the other side of the door, and you just, the door is open. So we've got to find time. We have always said this from the start of this show, from back in 2014, spending time with God and also making time for yourself to energize, to rejuvenate yourself. Because we go through so much during the week, in and out, so many things come at us, but we don't know how to deal with them on a day-to-day. We either come at it with an angry voice, or we either get bitter.
Oh, wow, I know a lot of bitter people.
Or we get to a place where we don't know how to heal. It's like everything just gets to us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you go somewhere and spend time with God, all the things that get to you will be nothing.
Like, it'll fall off to the wayside.
Yeah, because you realize that this situation doesn't harm me.
It's trivial. It has no power.
It is trivial. And if something don't have any power, then you, as an individual, can push past it.
You know, that's saying something, Kim. We have been empowered, and yet we let things and people take it from us very easily.
Yeah, because we surrender it.
We surrender.
You actually surrender your power to a spirit that's undeserving.
Yes. You know, now that reminds me of another story, Kim.
I knew it would.
Let me see if I can get it right, too, because I don't want to mess it up. But it's like, Kim, if I come to your house and knock on the door and I bring you a gift.
Yes.
And you open up that box and it's like bugs, snakes, flies, all of these things, and I'm bringing it to you for your home. The question was asked, would you take it?
No.
No. So when people come to you with their bad spirits and their wrong attitudes, why do we take that from them?
Because we think we're doing them a favor.
We either think we're doing them a favor, or we fight back the wrong way. Instead of resisting, we become them instead. We allow that spirit to consume us. You're offending me, so I'm going to offend you. You're upsetting me, so I'm going to upset you. We take what people bring to us instead of saying, you know what? Have a good day, because you're not going to give me your bad one. And yet we do it all the time. You know, the clerk has a bad attitude. And what do? Allow that to change your attitude. And we can't do that. We have to stop. Again, that's another one of those fights and struggles. Don't take other people's offenses on yourself. Maintain who you are. Someone told me I was leaving, I can't remember church, the store, someplace, but they said, man, I've had such peace. I'm having a great day. And I'm like, don't let nobody take it from you.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody take it from you. And that's what we have to remember to do. Don't let anybody take it from us.
You know, one thing I have learned since I've been back, and this has just been something positive, truly positive. My coworker called it honey. He said, you like spreading honey on stuff.
Okay. Okay.
I was like, so what do you mean? He said, well, you talk to a person, you find out about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you get them interested. The next thing, then you ask them for something that you want. And it just becomes, okay, sure.
Yeah, some people tell me that I find favor in a lot of places. Other people don't. But anyway.
But if you go, I'm beginning to find out. When you go to somebody, say if you're in a store and the cashier's behind you, she's behind the counter. You don't know what type of day she's had.
Exactly.
You don't know what's going on in her household or what person has came up to the cash register and just cussed her out. Mm-hmm. But if you tell that person and she's in a rush, hey, you ain't got to rush. I got some time.
I'm okay. Cool. Yeah.
You find out that you gained favor. I'm beginning to get more favor just by spreading more honey.
And that's what it was, Kim. That goes back to that giving. We always think giving has to be financial. But if you give goodness, if you give love, if you give joy, if you give, you know, a smile, that doesn't cost anything. If you give some patience to someone that's impatient, I mean, that's that giving, and you get it back. And maybe not even in that. Your reward may come in another way, mm-hmm. in a desire that you've been wanting.
Yeah. You don't know.
You don't know.
But you just have to.
Love.
That's it, love.
That's it.
And to find that true love, you have to find that time to seek what true love is to you.
What is love? Go in and get it. Love, I'm not going to hurt you. Love is I'm going to treat you like I want to be treated. That's love.
Yeah, that is love.
Man. And it's powerful. Love is giving. It's compassion. It's caring. And what you're doing, you're planting seeds. Seeds of love. Seeds of grace. Seeds of mercy. And those seeds are going to bring back fruit in your life. But yeah. You got to plant the seeds.
You got to be willing to. I mean, if you're just willing to just be someone that's just nasty, there's no seeds. It's nothing going to grow there. But what you plant.
But what you plant.
Yeah.
Look at nature. Look at life. Whatever the seed is, that's what the fruit's going to be.
Yeah.
So if you're going to plant seeds of corruption, that's what you're going to get. But if you plant seeds of love and peace and joy, oh my God, you're going to reap the benefits. And then you'll be sitting around wondering, wow, what's going on?
That's why I loved it, what I experienced, because it helped you put your feelings aside.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there pretty much to help someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's all the, let me put it into words. That's one of the most amazing things that you could do for someone else. Is to be unselfish.
Mm-hmm.
To be willing to give to someone else. I mean, it's not all the time money.
No. But most of them is not money. Most of them is not what they need. They need some peace of mind.
Yeah.
And if you can share something with them that will bring their mind some peace, that's what they want.
See, if I listen, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing right now. Before Taronda went on her excursion, I took a picture of her because I encouraged her. Because what you find out, before you go, you find stress on your face. But then after you come back, it's almost like a joy just comes. And that joy it's just something you can't stop sharing.
It consumes you.
It does. See? See the stress on your face?
It was a lot going on, Kim. It was a lot going on.
I know it was, but it just, see the peace. It's like something was lifted. So
I left a lot down there, Cube.
I know.
I left a lot.
But when you go there, you find out you have to deal with self first. No matter what you do, what you're looking for, you're going to have to deal with yourself.
And I mean, it's just you. There's nobody else. There's nothing else. So it has to be you.
Yeah. But you find out dealing with yourself is the most difficult thing to do. It's like no one there to tell you how. No one say, well, you're going down the wrong direction. It's just like you and God. God is showing you.
Me.
But after you finish, you're like, okay, Lord, I left that.
Even the parts that you don't want to know.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of them, too. It's like, ooh, really? Oh, man, no.
But it just.
Steal away. Steal away. Steal away.
You know, I'm ready to go back to myself. I'm ready to go back.
And for those that can't, again, find your place. Find your place.
Yeah, find somewhere to get away. Because day-to-day living will drive you nuts. And you got to find some peace in your life.
If that means just going to the park.
Yeah.
Go to the park. If that means driving up to the mountainside, you don't have to stay all night. Just go. Find your place.
You know, I've been finding out once I get into that quiet place, mm-hmm. and it's like I'm getting ready to go up to that mountaintop, someone will always either wake me up or take me out of there. Okay. I was almost there to find out something, but I for some reason, I never get to go to the top.
It's not time. You got too much work to do here before you can get to the top.
Well, I just want to learn. Mm-hmm. I just want to go up there just to learn.
Mm-mm. No, because, see, Kim, if you go from here and just go straight to the top instead of circling around, there are so many lessons that you will miss and lose on that journey that you need before you get to the top.
It's just so peaceful up there.
It is so peaceful up there. It is. But it won't be as lasting because there's some things you'll be missing. And the things you're missing might be the door that allow things to come in and take that peace. We've got to follow our journey. You know, there was a quote that I thought about while I was there, but I, you know, couldn't read it because I didn't have it. But I thought about it, and I want to share it because this also explains my experience. It says, the best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside, somewhere they can be quiet, alone with the heavens, nature, and God. Because only then does one feel all that it should be. And that's where I was, Kim. I was in nature. I was watching the heavens. My eyes were always on the stars, yeah. At night, the sky, the clearness and freshness of what was going on, and the presence of God. That's what I found when I went there. That's what I found when we went to the Monastery of the Holy Spirit. That's what I found when I went to the Jesuit grounds. I mean, it's something about nature and God, yeah. And being in tune. We're part of it. We're part of it.
Yeah.
I was watching, and I think we're getting ready to run.
Yeah.
Our time is running out. But I was watching a documentary, as I always do, once I came back. And it was the astronauts' perspective of the Earth. And it showed their view of Earth from up there. And their story was, it was life-changing because we sit here on this earth and think we're stable, and they said yet to be up there and see this ball in the midst of nothing, suspended in nothing. He said it was just an eye-opening experience because things that we think are so stable, they're really not. And he said the other revelation they got was that was one organism, the earth. And yet you think of the billions or millions of people that are on this earth, and yet they're a part of this earth. From that perspective, it was just one thing. It was earth. And I think that's how we are when you look at the body of Christ. We're one amongst many. And we're all interconnected. We all find ourselves at home here on this earth. So, as stable as we think things are, they're not. And you were talking about in the beginning, Kim, about how when you step back, you feel like you're not a part of what you see.
Yeah.
And that's because we're not. We're so much greater than we think we are. We're not limited to time and space. There's so much more for us, and we've got to get there. And the only way we're going to get there is to go within and find that solitude and listen.
Amen.
Okay. That's all you had to say.
Yeah. I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not even going to touch that. For our listeners, if you want to reach out to us, you can email us at prophetic.prayer.warrior@gmail.com. And we hope that you enjoy this broadcast. Hopefully it touches your heart, touches your mind, touches even your spirit. We want you to join us again on November the 14th, which will be, I'm sorry, let me rephrase it, November the 13th. I'm thinking on the Monday. We're not doing it on a Monday.
No, we're not.
November the 13th. Join us here so we can share with you what God has shared with us.
Amen. Amen. Look forward
and
to hearing
God
from
bless
you
all. God keep you. And God continue to order your steps. Amen.
Amen.